Hail to the Redskins! Hail victory! Brave on the warpath! Fight for home, D.C.
Green driven back to midfield on the far side. He's got the ball up to the 45, far side 40. A seam to the 35, balls a man to the 30. Breaks it to the near side 25. Watch out to the 20. Near side 10. He's gone! Touchdown, Washington Redskins!
This is Burgundy and Gold Flashback. Now, here's Mike Richmond.
Welcome to Burgundy and Gold Flashback, where the tradition of a storied NFL franchise, the Washington Redskins, stays alive. I'm Mike Richmond, author of the Redskins Encyclopedia and the Washington Redskins Football Vault. My website is redskinshistorian.com. My guest today is one of the Redskins' greatest special teams players ever, a master at blocking punts. He blocked at least four during his years with the Redskins from 1970 to 1976. On the phone with me now from Parkland, Florida, Bill Malinchek. Welcome, Bill.
Yeah, hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Well, great to have you on. I watched you and other George Allen Redskins players as a kid, so I feel like I'm reliving my childhood in a sense. It was great watching you play. You were just an amazing, amazing special teams player. So, again, I'm very happy to have you on. Thank you very much. I want to open with the Redskins special teams from last season, and you're obviously the perfect person to answer this question or explain what they need to do this season. But last year, 3-13 was their overall record. That's tough enough to absorb. Their special teams alone were atrocious. They allowed three punt returns for touchdowns and one kickoff return for a TD, and they committed a slew of maddening gaffes. This season, they have a new special teams coach in Ben Kotwicka. The special teams players seem to be flying around in the preseason. How critical is it, in your opinion, that they rebound in this phase of the game?
Well, I think that the special teams is still the most underappreciated, underused of the three, the offense, defense, and special teams. It's just they don't take advantage of the potential of the offense and the that they can add to the team success. You know, last year I did see a couple of games and a few games actually, and it was surprising because as I remember, the Redskins always dominated on special teams. I think back when George Allen was coach, we were totally prepared for each game. I mean, we spent at least 2 hours a day on special teams. When we went out there, it was interesting, Mike. I got to tell you, when I think back of those teams, I remember that we had great. We had Marv Levy, who was the excellent special teams coach, and actually he went on to be a great head coach. But and then we had Paul Lanham, who was also an excellent coach. But the one thing that made, I think, special back then was that George Allen had his hands on the special teams also. He would always get the players and call them over individually on a Friday, usually Saturday, and he would take me over, for instance, and he would talk to me about what I was expected to do playing on the special teams, that I had to make a big play. And I think that at the end of that conversation, which lasted maybe 5 or 10 minutes, I thought the game rested on my shoulders. And I think every other special teams player did too, because they probably got the same speech that we had to make a big play. When you do that on special teams, you just don't go through the motions. You have 11 guys looking to make a big play every time you go out there. You're going out there every fourth down on a punt or eighth play. You usually have about 25 plays, I guess, during the game. But when you go out, it's all special. And we were made to feel special. George, he was the first one to introduce the special teams on Monday Night Football that was never been done before.
That was the Dallas game in 1973, right?
It was 73, I guess, yes. And he was, you know, usually the offense or defense goes out there, but, you know, he sent the special teams out there. I mean, he put a lot of pride on those teams, so that the head coach was always shining the light on that special teams, and the head coach has that power. They're just not another unit over on the side doing punting drills or field goal drills, whatever. It was, he always put a spotlight on us. And the teams, you know, when I think back, we are always at the top of the statistics in all the different kicking categories. And it was no mistake, because George, like I said, he always put the spotlight on us, and we thought we had to do something special. And like I said, you know, there were 11 guys looking to do something, making a big play on every time we went out there.
It's interesting that Rusty Tillman, one of the other Redskins special team stars from that era, told me the exact same thing. He said that George Allen would tell him, hey, the game rests on your shoulders. And he also said that Allen would say to him, the special teams are going to win one or two games for us this year. I'm sure you heard a lot of the same things from George Allen.
Absolutely. And it happened. And as a matter of fact, it was more than one or two. I mean, there were games, game after game, either win right outright or just influence highly. And the guys on those teams were really good athletes. I mean, you go with Rusty Tillman, Mike Hall, Bobby Brunet, Teddy Vactor, Speedy Duncan. Those guys, they were, and they could have probably played on a lot of teams at their positions, but they were really excellent players, and they did it. I often think, I guess my thoughts go to, don't dismiss the power of the special teams. I think even now, if you want to really make great advances and have an advantage during the game, it's in special teams. I still think that it's still neglected to a bit, and that, you know, I would spend hours every day during the week checking out film to just see one guy that was maybe a little lazier, or that he's not doing his responsibility, or he wasn't doing this or that. And I'd tell coach, and we talk about it, and say, well, maybe we can do this or that, because there's, you know, maybe eight guys or nine guys and are doing their job, but you can always find one or two guys that was maybe not as attentive or focused like the rest of the guys. And they are always like new guys too. That's the thing. They put great athletes on these special teams, but they're young. How many punts and how many kickoffs and have they run down? I mean, people think that's all you do, but it's not. I mean, there's a lot to working as a team when you cover punts or cover, you know, do kickoff coverages, because if everybody does their job, you're not going to have one returned all the way. You're just not.
Speaking of George Allen and his emphasis on special teams and saying that they would win games for him, can you tell me that story about the 1976 game against the Cowboys? I know you were out of football at the time. You were a stockbroker on Wall Street, and he contacted you saying, hey, I want you to come back and play in the Cowboys game. Can you share that story? It was a late season game, but our listeners would be elated to hear that and what you accomplished in that game.
Oh, well, yeah, George, yeah, he called me back. I was working as a commodity broker in New York City, and I came back and played, I think we played Philadelphia, and then we played Jets, and then we had to beat Dallas to get into the playoffs. And fortunately, when I went out on one of the punts, it was in the beginning of the game, you know, the offensive punting team will actually just, you know, point to the guy they're going to block. I heard the blocking scheme, and I saw that, you know, the only guy I got to beat is the up back. I'll jump over him or, you know, that, but I got a free run here because they were blocking down. So I closed the gap, and I ran in and just had to jump over a little bit over the fullback, the up back there, and I got my hand on the ball, was able to block it, luckily. But it was just, you know, just being observant and watching what the blocking scheme was. And it wasn't called, but I just took the chance once I saw the opportunity.
And the Redskins won that game 27-14 against the Cowboys in Texas Stadium, and that earned you guys a wild card playoff spot. It's like George Allen had this sense, that this foresight that other coaches didn't have. And this seems like a perfect example.
Well, you know, I often think, you know, George was a great, great coach. I mean, and he always knew that we were going to win or lose by, you know, a point, a field goal. It was always going to be close, so he was always looking to close that gap. And special teams was a way to do it because that really changes the momentum. And, you know, it's when you make a big play, it's not for 5 yards. You block a punt and you've gained 60 yards if you just, you know, any big play on special teams is big yardage. So George was always looking for a way to, you know, get that little bit of advantage that would win the game because we were always going to be in the game because, you know, our defense was always so good and it never got out of hand. So brilliant that way.
In an interview that I had with Marv Levy a few years ago, you mentioned him earlier, he said that you had a special technique for blocking punts. He said this technique made so much sense that others didn't use. Everybody comes in with their hands up. Bill split his hands out at the foot to block that ball off the foot. I'm wondering if you could elaborate on that a little more.
Yeah, it's not much, but it was that you had a much larger blocking area, and as long as you came in at the right angle, and it was really the angle that you came in at that was what would permit you to block it so easily. I was a punter, so I knew exactly what I had to look out for when I was punting. I always, I thought a couple of times I was going to be able, if I could get in there quickly enough, I was going to be able to, I always dreamt about getting that punt before it hit his foot and just snatching it, but never made it. But I always thought that was a possibility.
Well, we're going to talk more about your punt blocking exploits when we come back from break. Right now, here's This Week in Redskins History.
Hey, it's Mike Richmond, the official Redskins historian and author of the Washington Redskins Football Vault and the Redskins Encyclopedia. From the pages of my books comes This Week in Redskins History. When Joe Gibbs retired as Redskins coach in March 1993 and was replaced by his savvy defensive coordinator, Richie Pettibone, conventional wisdom said the Skins would maintain their winning ways from the Gibbs era. Nothing indicated otherwise in Pettibone's first game, a 35-16 spanking of the defending Super Bowl champion Cowboys at RFK Stadium on September 6, 1993. Quarterback Mark Rippon threw three scoring passes, Brian Mitchell ran for 116 yards and two TDs, and the Redskins crafted drives of 99, 80, 78, and 65 yards. The rest of the season was forgettable. Washington lost its next six games, finished 4-12, and Pettibone was fired. For more on Redskins history, check out my website at redskinshistorian.com. That's redskinshistorian.com. I'm Mike Richmond for This Week in Redskins History.
Welcome back to Burgundy and Gold Flashback. I'm Redskins historian Mike Richmond here with one of the greatest special teamers in Redskins history. To date, no Redskin has been better at blocking punts. Bill Malinchak, welcome back. Great to have you on.
Great to be here, Mike.
Well, the Redskins have their season opener. It's right upon us. They're going on the road to play the Houston Texans on Sunday. I want to talk about a season opening game that you starred in 1972. It was against the Vikings at Old Metropolitan Stadium in Bloomington, Minnesota. Monday night, under the lights, Howard Cosell, Frank Gifford, Don Meredith, and the Redskins pulled that game out 24-21. Now, talk about games where special teams made a definitive impact for the Redskins. I mean, this was a perfect example. You blocked a punt in the first quarter, scooped it up and ran 16 yards for a touchdown, and you recovered a fumble on a Redskins kickoff in the fourth quarter that set up a touchdown. How often do you think back on that game? That had to be perhaps the greatest game in your career.
Absolutely. I think it was so big because at that time, we had had some success in 71, and it got into the playoffs, and that was George's first year. And this was a huge game because Minnesota was an excellent team then, and it was at Minnesota. And Marv Levy had looked at the blocking schemes, and he saw that they were releasing very quickly down the field, the ends and the end on my side. He said, if you can cut down the angle that you go at, because he's going to leave, and you just, you know, it's kind of like you take off just right at him, then he'll leave. He's leaving. He's not even going to bother you. And that's what happened. He just thought this guy, you know, they hadn't blocked the punt. I don't think Minnesota had a punt block for a very long time. I think it was Jeff Severson or Jimmy Jones that was supposed to also go in and take the fullback, the up back, and they did their job, and I cut the angle down and went in and was lucky enough to block it, and ball bounced right back up and ran it in. So that was all Marv Levy, and he had watched enough film to know that was able to work. So I was happy to be part of Marv Levy's strategy.
Well, that win was the start of one of the most memorable seasons in Redskins history. You guys went 11-3 that year and went on to appear in Super Bowl VII, where the Redskins lost to the Dolphins 14-7. I understand that you have a ring from the Redskins' 26-3 win over the Cowboys in the NFC Championship game that season because you were on injured reserve after the fifth game. Is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you did not appear you could have appeared in the Super Bowl, but did not, right?
Yes, because I was on the injured reserve list, I had to pass through no recall waivers the last day of the season, the Friday before the last game, before 4 o'clock, I think 3:58 or 3:59, I was claimed by San Diego. Harlan Savari knew me, and I guess, and he wanted me truly just to come over there and help their special teams out. Fortunately, George traded back for me right at the end of the exhibition season the next year, so I was happy to get back.
What was it like for you playing during that era with the George Allen teams, the Over the Hill Gang, the Ramskins, during that era that he coached in Washington from 71 through 77? The Redskins had 5 playoff appearances and, of course, that appearance in Super Bowl VII. So what was it like for you?
I just being on the team was very, very satisfying in a sense that the guys on those teams, George always surround themselves with really mature professionals. When I think of all the Myron Patios and Richie Pettibone and Maxie Bond and all the older players that he brought in, they were so professional and they knew so much football. It was all business. And there was no nonsense at all. And I thought that I was really very fortunate to be in that situation where you had guys that really knew football and they knew what they wanted. That they had been in football long enough, they wanted to win championships. So it was great playing on those teams.
I know that he created this sort of high school atmosphere on the team. He himself had such a great youthful enthusiasm. And you guys sang that corny song after a lot of victories, and an NFL Films broadcast once caught you in the locker room singing that song. I'm sure you know the lyrics or remember them.
Yeah.
3 cheers for Allen, 3 cheers for George, hooray for George, he's a horse's ass. I mean, how much fun was it to sing that song itself and then to be part of that atmosphere in the locker room?
Well, I think that was George's way of team spirit, team morale. Not only that in the dugout, but on the trips home on the plane, he would have everybody singing the Redskin fight song. It was not unusual for George to do that all the time. It was just he built up a certain pride, I think, with those kinds of things that he would instigate, and it was wonderful because of you work so hard, and George was the hardest of all the workers. You know, George was. He was always working. And that was his joy, that he could, that after a victory, that he could enjoy it just like that with his players, singing the songs and doing that little saying that we used to do at the dressing room after giving out a game ball.
In your first 4 seasons in the NFL, you played for the Lions. I know you were drafted in 1966 out of Indiana, and your position was wide receiver. Your greatest year as a receiver was in 67 with the Lions, so when you had 26 catches. I also know that you had a role in the movie Paper Lion, the 1968 iconic sports comedy film starring Alan Alda. Can you tell me about that? It was the George, you know, Sports Illustrated's George Plimpton had spent time in the Lions training camp in 1963, and then he wrote a book on his experiences in 1966, and that book was turned into a movie. So just tell me what it was like being part of that and what type of role that you played.
Well, I had a bit part. I had one line that ended up, you know, I had a lot of lines. Most of them were on the editing floor because they edited most of it out, but it was a wonderful experience, and he was terrific. He was a wonderful man. He just fun to be around. He was like one of the guys, and you know, we found out that Alex Karras, and I also thought Mike Lucci did a heck of a job acting, but we found out that Alex Karras was a heck of a good actor. But it was a lot of fun. We were all down in Florida together, the whole team, and it was a great experience making that movie with good people. Like I say, Alan was just terrific, and I think his name was March, who was the director, and he was also you know, excellent. Wonderful experience, Mike.
Did you have a line in that movie where you referred to Roger Brown, the great defensive lineman, who I think at the time played for the Los Angeles Rams in 1968. Yeah. He was part of the fearsome foursome George Allen had traded for him. But back when George Plimpton was really in the Lions training camp in 1963, he was with the Lions. But tell me about a line that you had referring to Roger Brown.
We were just at the table eating, and my line, we were kidding, there was, I can't remember the different lines that were said before mine, but it was kidding Roger about his 300 pounds that he carried. And I said in one of, after somebody had said something about his weight, and I said, well, just don't swallow it, Rog. That was my big line, and my last line ever in acting.
And I know that you referred to Alex Karras before. I believe that movie did launch his acting career.
Yes. Yeah, he was terrific. But, you know, Alex, when I remember Alex, he was always a character. He always would entertain us when we wait for the coaches to go down to practice. He was always he was a born actor, and he did terrific.
Do you plan on being back in the D.C. area anytime this season for any Redskins games or even the Redskins alumni reunion? I remember seeing you there last year.
Yes. Well, I'm going to try, and I'm going to see my schedule, and I'm certainly going to try to get back for sure.
How much fun was it to be part of that reunion last season where you had guys, it was the Super Bowl 22 Redskins that were honored there, but there were guys from all different eras, 70s, 60s. So how much fun was it to be back with that group?
Well, I don't think there's anything that you can compare to it because these are guys that you did a lot of you know, hard work with, and there was a lot of pain and suffering and a lot of shared, you know, victories also that gave you a lot of happiness. So, you know, you share something that's very unique that very few men get a chance to experience. So, you know, seeing all my old friends and Roy Jefferson, for instance, and Mike Bass, and, you know, all the guys that I've known. And, you know, you love these guys. I mean, they're just tremendous human beings, and I really enjoyed it, and I was happy to, you know, see all of them again, and certainly see Brucey Allen, who I've known forever, and Bruce was, you know, he's done a heck of a job putting that thing together, and I was really impressed with what they've done with this alumni reunion, and it was I think very gratifying to go back and see everybody.
Well, I love the conversation, Bill. Thank you very much for being on the show, and I hope to do it again with you at some point. I also hope to see you at the Redskins alumni reunion this year. Many thanks to my audience for listening to Burgundy and Gold Flashback, and kudos to my producer, Mike Engel, for his stellar work. I'm Mike Richman. My website is redskinshistorian.com. That's redskinshistorian.com. For now, hail to the Redskins.